This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
I have a question for you. Can a person be religious and still care about beauty? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, "Whoever has an Adam's weight of pride will not enter paradise." And a man said, "Ya Rasulullah, but a man likes to have nice clothes and nice shoes." And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allaha jamilun yuhibbul jamal." Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. Pride is to reject the truth and look down upon people. Hadith is reported by Muslim. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is correcting the idea that taking pride in your appearance, dressing well, that is the type of pride that is wrong. Instead, he's telling us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is jamil, jamilun. It indicates that it's the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He loves beauty. So what does Allah being beautiful mean? Number one, He's beautiful in His essence. We're taught that the delights of paradise, with everything that paradise has of pleasures and spouses and finery and luxury and food, that the greatest pleasure is the pleasure of seeing the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of the bounties and all of the grace, all of the sights and the smells and the tastes will be forgotten without a trace, as if frozen in time and space when you see His face. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and I the pleasure of seeing His face in Jannah. Allahumma ameen. The second is He's beautiful in His actions and legislations, and He's beautiful in His creation as well. It's interesting that some would dismiss beauty like it's something that's shallow, that religious people shouldn't preoccupy themselves with. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions beauty as an objective for why He created certain things. So for example, in Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah An-Nahl is also called the Surah of Blessings, the Surah of the Bee. Allah describes grazing livestock right on that first page of Surah An-Nahl, and He says that وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا دِفْءٌ وَمَنَافِعُ وَمِنْهَا تَأْكُلُونَ, that this grazing livestock, you eat from it and it provides you with warmth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَ تُرِيحُونَ وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ, that you also benefit from the beauty that they bring. The beauty that you witness when you send them out to pasture, these animals, and when they come back. You know, I'm from a small farming village in Sudan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring it peace, stability, and tranquility, and prosperity in all of our lands. Allahumma ameen. And every morning, young shepherds would take dozens of goats, leading them out of the village to pasture. And like clockwork, near the end of the day, a little bit before sunset, that herd would be coming back in large groups, walking through the streets of our village until they would settle in their pens for the evening. And I'll be honest, I'm not a farmer and never really appreciated that sight, but I reflected on this verse, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا جَمَالٌ حِينَ تُرِيحُونَ وَحِينَ تَسْرَحُونَ, that you enjoy the beauty of them when they come back from pasture and when they go out. And I said to them, is this something that you really enjoy? And they told me, they said, what do you mean? When these goats and sheep are coming back home to a chorus of footsteps and bleats, it's a beautiful sight. They've eaten and they're coming back happy. It fills them with enjoyment. And two verses later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْخَيْلَ وَالْبِغَالَ وَالْحَمِيرِ تَرْكَبُوهَا وَزِينَةً. Allah says, and horses and mules and donkeys for you to ride. Obviously, that's the function of these animals. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, وَزِينَةً, and adornment. It beautifies people to be riding these majestic animals. So it's not just a matter of function, but also a matter of fashion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a few verses later, He says, it is He who subjected the sea for you to eat from it tender meat, وَتَسْتَخْرِجُوا مِنْهُ حِلْيَةً تَلْبَسُونَهَا, and to extract from it ornaments which you wear. So of the reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjugated the sea for us is to be able to eat food from the sea, of course, but also He mentioned something else, which is ornaments. That of the reasons why the sea was subjected was for us to be able to bring out ornaments of the ocean. Pearls and coral, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهُمَا اللُّؤْلُؤُ وَالْمَرْجَانُ, from both of them emerge pearls and coral. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even about the stars, in Surah Al-Mulk, He says, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحِ, we have adorned, we've beautified the nearest heaven with stars. But my point here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the placement of the stars in the nearest heaven, zina, beautification and adornment, which teaches us that of the purpose of the stars and the placement of the stars is that when you look up at the night sky, that it takes your breath away. Something else to pay attention to is that beauty can inspire faith. Have you ever walked into a beautiful masjid and had your faith increase? I want you to comment with the name of your city and the most beautiful masjid that you have in your city. We're gonna have a list of the most beautiful masjid in the world, inshallah ta'ala. Faith can not only increase because of beauty, but in fact, it can be kindled because of beauty. In Surah An-Naml, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes for us the correspondence that's happening between the Queen of Sheba and Sulaiman alayhi salam. She's in Yemen, he's in Palestine. And when she comes to Sulaiman's palace, it is said to her, قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الصَّرْحَ, enter into the palace. And when she enters, she sees what's in front of her, water. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that she raised, or she uncovered her shins to be able to walk through the water. And when she's told, إِنَّهُ صَرْحٌ مُمَرَّةٌ مِّن قَوَارِيرٍ, it is glass. She says immediately, رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي وَأَسْلَمْتُ مَعَ سُلَيْمَانَ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. She said, my Lord, I have wronged myself, and I have accepted Islam with Sulaiman to the Lord of the worlds. The beauty of the glass, the water, the palace was enough to inspire faith in her heart. But it's also important to remember, as we continue to build beautiful masajid in many towns and cities, that she says, Slamtu ma'a Sulaiman, with Sulaiman, which to me seems to indicate the importance of community. We can build the most beautiful masajid, but when no one welcomes you when you arrive, shows care for you while you're there, or ask about you when you're absent, then even the most beautiful masjids will not be able to attract people to return. And the last thing that I want to mention about beauty is that beauty in and of itself is proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence. For if it was simply an evolutionary mechanism, then how do we explain our appreciation of beauty? Have you ever seen a dog stunned by the sunset? Or a bear marveling mountains capped by snow? Or a camel enamored by a starry desert night? Or a bird breathless by the scenes it sees below? And if you've never seen a cat gaze fondly into the eyes of another with resolution impressed, then maybe there's something special in our souls that is not by evolution addressed. Because if we're animals just like all others, then why are our souls so easily captured by beautiful moments and beautiful people, by beautiful things enraptured? Maybe the beautiful made us, and made our love of beauty a sign that we believe in him and realize that beauty points to the divine.